Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is an empowering hour where you are able to access the most in-depth, profound information that allows you to be informed and being able, therefore, to make the best decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And as always, thank you for joining me. We have another wonderful show in store for you. I just want to give you a few announcements. I will be arriving back in the Big Apple for a class at the Natural Gourmet School on May 10th. That's from 2 to 5 p.m. And this is an event that I do twice a year. It's a wonderful class. Actually, it's a class that really is going to provide you with all the information to get your hormones back on track. That's the purpose of the class. And it is being held at the Natural Gourmet School, the Natural Gourmet Institute, actually. It's 48 West 21st Street in New York City. You can check them out at thenaturalgourmetinstitute.com. It's a really fun afternoon where I am able to help each of the participants with the keys to their puzzle to help them get their hormones and their health back on track. So it would just be such a delight to have as many of you listening in come and join me for a enlightening class that is guaranteed to really help you get your hormones back on track. And we have a lot of fun as well. So that's coming up May 10th at the Natural Gourmet Institute from 2 to 5 p.m. It's a great three-hour class where we have lots of time to explore, to share, and to learn, and to experience. I bring all sorts of ways to test ourselves so we get some in-depth understanding of what's really going on with our bodies. And I also want to say for all my Down Under listeners, and I know there are quite a few people listening in Australia and New Zealand, that the time is rapidly approaching where I will be heading back to Australia and New Zealand, and I'm really excited about returning. I have a very full lecture schedule all around Australia and the North and South Islands of New Zealand, so I really look forward to being able to connect with many of you there and share so much of the profound information and strategies that will be part of my presentations. I'll be doing lectures as well as workshops. If you go to whatwomenmustknow.com, which is my website, I will be posting very shortly my itinerary and what I'm doing where. So that just will be a great opportunity to connect with my wonderful community down in Australia and New Zealand. For those who are not from Australia and New Zealand, you may be interested in knowing that I actually lived in Australia for 18 years. I still have residency in Australia officially. I'm an official resident. And I go back every year because it is just a very special part of the world for me. And I love having the opportunity to do these lecture tours around the country and be able to support and empower men and women in my events and lectures. So I'm so looking forward to returning once again. Okay, so that's it for the announcements that I have right now. I want to turn to the topic that we're going to be discussing today. And what we're going to be talking about, and the topic is everything you need to know about fish oils for your hormones and your health. And my guest today is Stuart Tomk, who is quite an engaging and enlightening and educating, passionate person on the subject of fish oils. And we do need to know about the benefits of fish oils. They're quite profound for our health and well-being. And before we jump into the topic, I want to share a little bit about Stuart. And what we need to know about Stuart is that for over 20 years, he has been involved in the field of nutritional medicine. Stuart Tomk is an authority on evidence-based dietary supplements. He is a former consultant to the World Health Organization and current advisor to integrative physicians worldwide, having traveled the world as an educator and trainer for over 15 years. In addition, he was a contributing writer in Dr. Perricone's Seven Secrets to Beauty, Health, and Longevity. And Stuart currently serves as global educator and spokesperson for Nordic Naturals. Stuart has been featured in more than 2,000 radio interviews. In addition, he has appeared on almost 50 television shows and exhibited at over 150 natural health and product shows. Stuart is well known for his print interviews and articles in trade and health publications. And I have to say that Stuart is really well known for his expertise in the area and on the topic of fish oils. So we're going to get the skinny on fish oils today. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Stuart to the show today. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Dr. Silman.
Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And you just have such a wealth of knowledge. I'm always impressed with the depth and breadth of the information you have to share. And that's why I'm looking forward to having this conversation, because you are my go-to person to understand fish oils. And we have lots to talk about today. I'm just going to give a little teaser out, and we'll talk about it later. But Stuart is offering a very special price on a very special test that actually will be able to test your optimal, will test your levels of omega-3s and to see where you are within that range, because it's critical to have the ideal range of omega-3s, and this is the test that does it. So we're going to be talking about that test a little later on and the special offer that Stuart is making so people can actually access this test and give it a go. So, Stuart, let's start with the story. So I always like to start at the beginning, and the beginning for me today is, what are fish oils?
Well, fish oils are sort of a generic term for the extract that comes from either pressing a fish or actually taking the liver, in the case of a cod, and then separating the oil from the actual tissue. So fish oil as a generic term can cover many different species of fish. In fact, we now even have oils that are extracted from the byproduct of squid, so you can get squid oil now. There's some old-time sources of, under the umbrella of fish oil, that are hardly used anymore, thank goodness, like seal oil and things like that. But it's basically a nutritionally rich, dense source of what we call highly unsaturated fatty acids, which we'll talk about. And then there are also some poly and monounsaturated fat and even a little bit of saturated fat in any said fish oil. So it's usually a mixture of several different types of fatty acids, and they all vary based on what the fish eats and where it lives and how deep and cold the water is.
So fish oils have been known for a long time, and there are cultures that have been using fish oils. I know, for instance, that in Scandinavian countries and in Russia, they would always give their children a tablespoon of cod liver oil on a regular basis, didn't they?
No, it was really considered a very serious staple, sort of folk remedy. And just try to imagine living up near the Arctic Circle, for example, where it's very, very dark for a long part of the winter, and you don't get enough sunlight. So cod liver oil was the way to get vitamin A and vitamin D like David. And then in the 1960s, late 1960s and early 1970s, the discovery was made of the Inuit living in Arctic Greenland that were eating 13,000 milligrams. Try to imagine that, Dr. Solomon. 13,000 milligrams of omega-3 per day from eating a diet that was rich in whale blubber and seal and walrus and sorts of things that we'd never even dream of eating.
So why are the omega-3 fatty acids a critical component for our body, and why do they support health? Let's look at that, go into a little more depth in understanding the importance of omega-3s for our body's functioning.
Well, I think it's important for that part of the narrative to just make sure that we're clear on the known biological functions of EPA and DHA, that are two very critical omega-3 fatty acids that we find in fish oil and now in algae oil. But if I can just quickly review the biological functions, and this should help set the stage for why this is such a fascinating topic to study and to teach and to learn about. So the four known biological functions. First, when you eat fish or fish oil, rich in EPA and DHA, those fatty acids are incorporated as structural components of cell membranes. Now, we know we're made of 100 trillion cells. If the cell is healthy, it is a microcosm of the macrocosm. Some say that the cell membrane is the brain of the cell. So if you eat fish or fish oil, you have EPA and DHA that increase the fluidity of the cell membrane, allowing for the proper function of proteins and also allowing nutrients in and waste products out, so they make everything more efficient. Number two, EPA and DHA are converted to metabolites that help to regulate inflammation in the body. Omega-3, EPA, and DHA are oxidized to generate bioactive metabolites that help to regulate inflammation in the body. So we can't understate how important that is. Mm. Next, they modulate enzyme activity, including the inhibition of protein kinases and preventing increases of calcium and potassium. And then finally, the area where there's just tremendous interest, EPA and DHA directly regulate gene expression involved in inflammation, cell proliferation, cell death, and oxidative stress. So when you look at the pluripotent, pleiotropic mechanisms of action, it almost sounds too good to be true.
Well, I mean, those are really profound functions in our body in order to stay healthy and to heal and to regulate all the key mechanisms. I was just wondering, you know, there are other sources of omega-3s. For instance, there are plant-based sources, and I've always been curious, what's the difference between a plant-based source of omega-3s and the fish oil source of omega-3s, or even the krill oil source of omega-3s?
Well, it's an important and meaningful part of the narrative because I've been a little concerned over the last couple of years that with this overload of information, we also have an excess of misinformation, and then customers are really confused. I was recently in New Zealand, and the former vice president of Johnson & Johnson put together a press conference so I could meet a lot of the press in New Zealand, and I gave them a miniature version of one of my lectures. And one of the health writers, and I can't remember what the publication was, but a very serious journalist walked up to me and said, "Okay, Mr. Tomp, you're fairly persuasive. You seem to reference everything you're talking about. However, the audience has lost trust because we keep reevaluating the story. We show conflicting data, this report, that report." So it's important that we remember that the biochemistry, the reason I want to stick with the mechanisms of action, is that is much less subjective and more objective. So to answer your question, the difference between plant-based omega-3, which we call short-chain, and long-chain omega-3 that you find in a fish or in an animal that ate a lot of greens, the difference is the length of the fatty acid. And the length of the fatty acid will change. When you eat green leafy vegetables, when you eat chia and flax meal, you're eating short-chain omega-3 that in your body then becomes long-chain omega-3, which is really bioactive. So there's tremendous benefit from eating plant-based omega-3s. I tell everyone in all my lectures, eat flax meal and chia seeds and green leafy vegetables and seaweed, but I touch on an added benefit. Not only will some of that convert into the stuff that makes up the brain, not only will some of that convert into the fatty acid that basically helps to put out the fire, the unintended benefit of eating more green leafy vegetables above and beyond the fiber and all the other goodies in there is that the more short-chain omega-3 you eat, the more you occupy the enzymes that are competing because you have huge amounts of seeds and seed oils now in the American diet. We can pick on people that eat junk food, but all of us, like, I eat almond butter all the time. The more omega-6s from seeds that we're eating, the more short-chain omega-3 from greens we need to keep balance. But in the body, the job is to convert the green leafy vegetables and flax meal and chia into the longer chain fats, or you could eat fish that ate the algae, or cattle that ate the grass, or now eat algae omega, where we directly extract the EPA and DHA from the algae. The point being, Dr. Selman, both short chain and omega-3 long chain are critical.
Right. And so let's talk about some of the specific benefits. Let's explore how this can support hormonal balance, because that's a topic that I'm really interested in. I know a lot of my listeners are really interested in the best nutrition to optimize our hormonal balance.
Well, when we look at the fact that omega-3 produce the largely anti-inflammatory hormone-like compounds, and that's such a critical part of understanding what I call the big fat story, it's not that omega-3 is anti-inflammatory. That's just too much of an oversimplification. Omega-3 is the substrate for the largely anti-inflammatory hormone-like compounds, and we know from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, from their recent report, when they tested hundreds and hundreds of Americans with the same blood test that we're going to offer your audience today, they found out that the average American is made of 36% omega-6 and only 2% omega-3. What does that mean? If the average person is made of 36% omega-6, every time their immune system is challenged, they will produce more of the largely pro-inflammatory hormone-like compounds and not enough of the anti-inflammatory hormone-like compounds. So we can look at the benefit of omega-3 for increasing cell membrane and neurotransmission fluidity and actually increase sensitivity for cell-to-cell communication. That's really important. But if people are trying to balance their hormones in general, but the entire body is preloaded for a hyperbolic reaction to immune inflammatory stress, every time the immune system is challenged, if you're walking around with 36% omega-6, that may delay the resolution of inflammation. So what's so exciting about the omega balance concept, you get enough protective omega-3 in the tissue relative to omega-6, everything else that you're doing will be more efficient because your cells will work more efficiently and you'll resolve inflammation in a more timely fashion.
So tell us what are sources of omega-6, because I know that we have overconsumed omega-6s. Everything is about the right ratio and relationship, and we have we've created a diet that has so much more omega-6 available to us, and that's skewing that ratio with consequences.
It certainly is. In fact, when you're really fastidious about the literature, if you look at omega-3 consumption from 1909 to 1999, and this is thanks to Dr. Joseph Hiblin at the National Institutes of Health, a uniformed health official, one of my absolute heroes. He published a wonderful paper with his department and his colleagues looking at how omega-3 levels from 1909 are the same per capita, basically, as they are today. What's changed is we are drowning in seed oils. Soybean oil consumption is up 1,000-fold between 1909 and 1999. Now, it's easy for our audience, Dr. Selman, because we are the faithful and we're so conscientious about our diet. Let's say for a moment you're not eating the seed oils that are maybe more harmful because they could be high temperature production or GMO. A lot of those theories have floated around for a long time. I'm not going to address that directly. I'm going to say seeds are where the universe put the omega-6s, seeds and nuts. Now, that then makes us challenge our oversimplifications of good versus bad, meaning if you had cold-pressed, handmade, extra virgin almond oil, and you compared that to sort of an industrially produced almond oil with high temperature or solvents or whatever, it's still loaded with LA omega-6, which means if you eat a lot of the non-GMO, hexane-free, Habitat to Humanity, all the healthy stuff we spend all of our money on, you're still going to convert it into the largely pro-inflammatory hormone-like compounds when those fatty acids are cleaved from the cell membrane. So think of it like this. Seeds and nuts, omega-6s, and avocado, which I love, will never stop eating, and green leafy vegetables and animals that eat those, omega-3s. Now, there's a list which my mentor put together for free. Anyone can look up all the foods we're eating at fastlearner.org. F-A-S-T, fastlearner.org. And when you go to fastlearner.org, look for omega-3-6 balance, click on the links, and then just explore for yourself. I used to get so many panicked people calling me, Dr. Solomon. They'd turn on their computer, I'd turn on mine. They'd say, is there that much omega-6 in a poppy seed? Yes, there is. Is there that much omega-6 in a pumpkin seed? Yes, there is. Seeds, omega-6s. Greens omega-3s. So that we could learn a lot from this. Simply making some choices with our health food, we could get more balance just by eating more a judicious diet.
So what you're saying is we're eating a lot more foods that have omega-6s in them, and of course the oils and the oils that are found in processed foods and baked goods and all those things. And the ratio between the ratio that supports our health, which is a critical ratio between the omega-6 and the omega-3s is skewed way out of balance.
And what we've done, yes, that's correct, and what we've all done as an industry is we've spoken more about the dietary intake and less about what is you, meaning we are not what we eat. We are what we ate that we didn't burn as energy that's left over. So I've been on a crusade with Nordic Naturals over nearly the last decade, to get people to find out what's your number, what's your omega number, what is your number in the tissue, which is the issue. Because we've been focused on ratio and where we were in antiquity and maybe where we are today, but those are all guesstimates. Until we test ourselves, until we all know our own personalized omega-3 number, we could be missing the boat. We could be in the dark and missing the benefit that omega-3 balance has to offer.
So part of that problem could be because people have compromised gut health and they can't absorb and assimilate their oils and their fats because their little villi have been atrophied. And could that impair how well fats and oils are absorbed into the tissue levels of the body?
Well, it's a very fascinating theory, but what we found after exploring that further is, look, certainly you don't want your gut to be like a lot of dysbiosis people. You know what you talk about. You meet people all the time, and you're a doctor. Gut health is like at an all-time low. Fat, though, is so magnificent, though. It is so efficient at getting into the system. I can tell you one thing. People that have compromised digestion like that, that are complaining about either eating fish or even a high-quality fish oil and belching it up,
yes.
A lot of that belching has to do with a complete wipeout of all the friendly bacteria from all the antibiotics and not enough healthy, friendly bacteria. So it really isn't one of the major rate-limiting factors to get it into the cells.
Okay.
But it's a rate-limiting factor to keep people from taking the omega-3 they need. If they're belching it up, they're not going to take it.
Right. Let's talk about the role of omega-3s and brain health and mood stabilization.
Well, this is the next frontier. I mean, they prophesized in the 70s. Professor Michael Crawford, who wrote the book The Driving Force, he and his colleagues said in the 70s that what we were seeing with heart disease was just the beginning. And now the World Health Organization said by the year 2020, mental health disorders will outrank cancer. It's already the number one burden of ill health in Europe. And what we've seen is that the heart disease fear, because you can't really tell when plaque is developing in you, that really doesn't seem to motivate people as much as we thought it would. I mean, that's not really a good motivator. But when you actually show people animals that are fed adequate or deficient diets, where we look at the synapses and the hippocampal neurons, and I throw it up on the screen, and you look at the embryo neurons harvested after 18 days, and the adequate connections. You see all the branches and all of just how beautiful the highway of the synapsis is versus the deficient animals that they're on dial-up. And they have a fraction of the connections and the branches. There are some that have gone so far as to say that brain and heart disorders resulting from omega-3 deficiency are the biggest challenges to the future of humanity. And unfortunately, if it wasn't for shows like this, the general public wouldn't hear much of this because they're tired of all the fad diets. It's almost as if we finally cracked the code of how fat plays such an important role in our health after everyone pretty much stopped listening.
You know, I remember reading about cultures such as Scotland, Ireland, and when people left their traditional diets, that's when they were more prone to alcoholism as also Native Americans, because they were deficient. One of the physiological imbalances that occurred when they left their traditional diets, which were really high in fish, was that they became deficient in omega-3s. And when they were put back on omega-3s, it helped them to stabilize their kind of emotional, mental, addictive nature was more addressed and balanced. So they gave up their addictions.
There's an entire department, the National Institutes of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism at the NIH, that happens to be where Captain Joseph Hiblin works. So if you're really interested in that, any of our listeners, please look up Hibblen, Hibblen. I'm sure you mentioned it before, Dr. Selman, but one of our secrets when we write a lot is to use PubMed.gov, PubMed.gov, and the awesome access to information that we have these days, I'm often cited as really being an authority in the field. Truth be told, I have great teachers and mentors, but I go to PubMed.gov every single day and type in omega-3, and if you read papers as they come out, 2, 3, 4, 5 a day, it's amazing. You know, we have to flip that idea of expert and expertise upside down because we can get access to the information. But you're 100% correct. Not only do we see that, but when we do interventions, the British, BJ Psych, they did a study with violent offenders, and they gave a group of these violent criminals a little bit of fish oil and some multivitamins. I mean, this is dirt cheap intervention. And they just measured the rates of felony-level outbursts in comparison to the rest of the population. Dr. Selman, there was like a 40% reduction in felony outbursts.
Right, yes.
That's impressive for the return on investment.
Right. So really what we're saying is that when you are deficient in some of these vital key nutrients, it's going to impair functioning across the board.
And that's why the story has just captivated my curiosity in such an intense way, because when Harvard University put out their preventable causes of death, this was Darius Mosafarian, one of the top epidemiologists, and you look at tobacco smoking, high blood pressure, high BMI, physical inactivity, high blood glucose, high LDL, although we know that's oversimplified, right? It's oxidized LDL, high salt intake, and then it says omega-3 deficiency. I'm looking at the list right here. Nearly 100,000 people die from omega-3 deficiency per year. Dr. Selman, we lose 80,000 women a year to breast cancer. We lose more people to omega-3 deficiency. Next on the list, high dietary trans fatty acids, and then low intake of fruits and vegetables, meaning it may be more important for your daughter to eat a can of sardines than to eat more kale. And when you do the math and you look at how omega-3 makes cholesterol less dangerous, how it increases sensitivity to blood sugar, how it helps with gene transcription from fat storage to fat burning, and we know it lowers high blood pressure, the impact of correcting the omega-3 deficiency of any single one intervention we can pick up in a bottle, there is nothing else besides quitting smoking and exercise that have the proven health benefits of omega-3 fish oil supplements.
Well, that's a lot to think about, and we will think about it because we're about to take a short break, Stuart, and we have a lot more to talk about when you get back about the importance of omega-3s in our diet and getting the right ratio within the omega-3s, and just lots to talk about. So why don't we just take a moment? We'll have our little station break, and we'll come back and talk more about the healing benefits of omega-3s and also about the special test that you're going to be offering people so they can actually test what's going on their tissue levels with their omega-3s. So you are listening to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman, and we will be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And today we're talking about everything that you need to know about fish oils for your hormones and health with Stuart Tomk. Stuart, you mentioned just before the break about the benefits of omega-3s and breast cancer. Can we talk a little bit about the role of omega-3s and cancer in general and its place in supporting and healing cancers?
Yeah, I mean it's a tricky area to talk about when we're using dietary supplements because there are just so many opinions. I would strongly encourage people to really do the homework and to use PubMed.gov, and there is some very persuasive evidence that suggests that higher levels of omega-3 in the tissues may actually help conventional treatments for cancer. And we also know that when you look at one of the main mechanisms of action of how omega-3s are directly involved in the gene transcription that leads to programmed cell death and apoptosis, there are many, many groups that are looking at the combination of traditional chemotherapy, radiation, and using omega-3. And then there are quite a few camps that believe that the higher levels of omega-3 in the tissues for a longer period of time, and this is where you can't look at it as a take two and call me in the morning. The theory is 10, 20, 30 years of having more omega-3 in the tissues relative to omega-6 may really have some cancer prevention properties. More research clearly is needed in that area, but the criticality of it cannot be understated.
Wasn't there a study that really came out fairly recently that actually was looking at prostate cancer and omega-3s, saying they didn't do anything or were related to the fact that they either didn't do anything or could have contributed to? There was some study that was out.
Correct. Yeah, it was July 10th, 2013. I remember I was on vacation. The Journal of the National Cancer Institute. It's important to remember that this observational study is what it was. It was not an intervention.
Right.
It investigated the relationship between the plasma phospholipid fatty acids and prostate cancer risk in 834 men that were diagnosed with prostate cancer from a group that was looking at selenium and vitamin E. And what was so fascinating to me is that they had the plasma that was left over, and it was sort of 10 years later, and they went back and said, gee, let's see what the fatty acid differences are between the men that had a little bit higher and lower omega-3 and try to correlate that as some kind of proof. And here's my favorite response to it. Theodore Brasky, Dr. Brasky, PhD, that's one of the authors, and I had a chance to meet him recently. Here's a direct quote from him. And this is where misinformation online is part of why we're losing the audience and trust. He says, quote, "It's important to note, however, that these results do not address the question of whether omega-3 plays a detrimental role in prostate cancer prognosis," said study author Theodore Brasky, PhD, in a press release. So the men were only tested once when the study was started, years before diagnosis. The test wasn't the one that we're going to give today at a discount. It was the cheap one because that's all they could afford. They put that in the paper. All the men had normal PSA levels at the start of the study, although 72% of the men who eventually developed prostate cancer already had PSA levels that were 2 or greater when their blood was initially tested. And the men who developed the cancer had first-degree relatives who also had prostate cancer, meaning they had genetic predisposition. And finally, confirmational bias. I mean, we do a lot of testing here in the States, more than they do in Japan and elsewhere, and these men were highly educated. So highly educated men who have a high PSA, that go to the doctor on a regular basis, and had a first-degree relative who had prostate cancer, were likely to eat, quote, a healthier diet. So the study showed an association, not a causation, and you know, we lost about 12 million men. Women lead the charge in setting the tone for health in the household, in my opinion, nationwide and worldwide. We know that. The men that dropped off were the men that were right on the fringe. They were just starting to embrace, wow, maybe the way my food has grown has some impact on my health. What we lost were the men that probably needed omega-3 the most because they heard the salacious headlines. They didn't even read the paper.
Right. Most people just go with the headlines. You know, I have a friend who has lots of inflammation in his knees. He's always complaining about pain and aches in his knees. And he goes to his doctor and asks about supplementation, fish oils. And, of course, the doctor says, it's useless. Don't bother. Don't waste your money. It's like, oh, gosh, you just want to...
That's funny you say, in case he's listening, Dr. Sum, do you know Dr. Joseph Maroon? I think we mentioned that. We're both friends with him.
Yes, he's been on my show in the past, absolutely.
Okay, and if you don't know Dr. Maroon, he's a neurosurgeon, head of the neurosurgery department at Pittsburgh School of Medicine, team neurosurgeon for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The title of one of his books is Nature's Safest, Most Effective Anti-Inflammatory Fish Oil. Now, when you look at the mechanism of action of aspirin and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, the way they work is they block omega-6. I mean, in 1969, John Vane discovered that. In 1982, he won the Nobel Prize. So we've known just give aspirin and painkillers blocks omega-6. What if you balanced omega-6 with omega-3? When Dr. Maroon put his patients on high levels of omega-3, closer to 3,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA per day, 3,000, and he published his journal paper in the journal Surgical Neurology, which he won Paper of the Year for, 60% of the patients threw their pain pills in the garbage. He's a neurosurgeon. So when people say, oh, you can't use omega-3 like an intervention like that, I don't know. Aspirin might have been the wonder drug of the 20th century, and it appears as if fish oil, omega-3, EPA, and DHA specifically, may actually be nature's safest, most effective anti-inflammatory for the 21st century and beyond.
Okay, I have lots of questions. We actually have a question from a listener who called in and who was wondering about the safety of fish oil in light of radiation from Fukushima. So, you know, the salmon, the fish, obviously, in the Pacific. What are your thoughts?
Well, I know Randy Hartnell, who is the owner of Vital Choice, which is a canned salmon and fresh salmon distributor, and they have fishing boats up there in Alaska. So I see him at all the lipid conferences. He says he's testing everything. If you go to vitalchoice.com, you find some of the best salmon in the entire world. He says that they're testing everything and nothing's showing up yet. We test all of our batches. There's a statement that Nordic Naturals has, and we haven't found anything yet. It's not that I'm not concerned. This is what I think has happened, though, I've noticed in the natural product industry. The risk-reward ratio, the ability to digest that is more challenging for us to do, I think, because we're more interested in the details in many cases, and maybe we're more aware. We're hyper-aware. And my concern is, Dr. Selman, that if people are concerned about the potential of one day being a lot of bioaccumulation, which very well could happen in much larger animals, not necessarily in fish, but we'll test the fish. 100-year-old tuna swimming around for a long time, I tell you, those kind of fish have a lot of PCBs and dioxins, and why would you be surprised? They've been around a long time. Mm-hmm. So maybe in sea mammals and so forth, we'll show it. But in the fish, my fear is, what happens if you don't eat fish or fish oil? How are you going to have balance between omega-6 and omega-3? You'll just eat more soy protein. Most people aren't eating insect protein yet. And the algae protein and hemp protein is just coming on the line. So if you avoid the fish or the fish oil, you're going to eat more soy, the average person, maybe not your listener, and then more soybean and seed oils, and animals that are already eating fish as fish meal, but you're not getting enough omega-3, you throw yourself out of balance. So right now we're not detecting anything, and we're monitoring it very closely.
Well, that's a good answer. It's good to know as well. And it's important that people understand, based on your research and what is accepted in the world of integrative medicine, that fish oil really is one of those staples, part of a core protocol for supporting our health and well-being and supporting the body's ability to heal and repair.
That's why I was surprised in the last couple of years that there are detractors, and there always have to be contrarians. But listen to this quote from Harvard University, Darius Mosafarian. I want it to be peer-reviewed and published. I have my own opinions, but that's different than public health policy. Here's what one of the top experts says. Modest consumption of fish or fish oil, together with smoking cessation and regular moderate physical activity, should be among the first-line treatments for the prevention of death. Kind of the only biomarker I'm really interested in anymore. So when we look at that versus the people that are suggesting that there may not be benefit here, when we have 2,500 randomized control trials and 20,000 papers, this goes back to this rapid spread of misinformation online, and I'm afraid that people will stop taking omega-3, the men that needed it the most for breast cancer, or for prostate cancer, rather, and then people that are hearing the detractors saying don't take omega-3 fish oil, just eat more short-chain omega-3 and omega-6. That camp may be throwing people out of balance without having all of the evidence.
Okay, so I need to ask you about DHA, because that's a component in the omega-3s. Can you help us understand the importance of DHA?
DHA, docosahexa, meaning six, docosahexaenoic acid, is the most limiting fat in all of nature. It's 22 carbons long, six double bonds. It's like a slinky, and it is so amazing. Dr. Selman, if you don't have enough DHA preformed in your brain, you make a surrogate, which is a fatty acid that's one double bond short. Looks very similar, but it's one double bond short. And that has been connected to a thousand-fold reduction in brain cell-to-brain cell communication. Mom needs DHA to meet her own needs and then to carry the torch for humanity, meaning mom gives all of her DHA, or a huge amount of it away, rather, to build a brain and eyes and nervous system. The DHA you find in everything that's fast and fast-moving, the photoreceptor of the eye. Think of the synaptogenesis, the heart pounding, the nervous system. So I'm concerned when we tell people don't eat fish, and then we're freaked out about Fukushima, then we hear don't take fish oil, and what is the brain made of? The brain is made of what mom ate that she didn't burn as energy that's left over. So if you have one or two or three pregnancies, and you're not testing your omega-3 levels, and you're afraid of eating fish, and you don't eat enough fish oil, then the structural material of the brain of these precious lives we're bringing into the universe to solve the problems that we've been not incapable but unwilling to address, my concern is they may not have the brain width or the bandwidth to solve these problems if mom does not get enough omega-3 and probably needs it more than men, because they have to meet their own needs for their own health and to ensure the procreation of our species for the future of humankind.
So if mothers take the omega-3s with the DHA, and what's an ideal ratio?
Well, the prenatal DHA, we happen to be partnering with the American Pregnancy Association. They've vetted the products, and it's got the lowest detectable levels of PCBs, dioxins, and all those things. This is where it can get really, really tricky, because a lot of people are very, very strict about the dietary intake of omega-3 when you're pregnant or for children. But remember what we talked about at the top of the show. Let's say you followed what was on the label of the prenatal DHA, for example, and then dramatically reduced your omega-6 intake by going to fastlearner.org. And then you take the test, the omega-3 blood spot test, you could get higher levels of omega-3 in your tissues by simultaneously reducing the omega-6 intake while you're taking your two capsules of prenatal DHA. And that's where it's such a cool story, because it's not about selling more product. It's about getting people the adequate protection that they deserve.
Yeah, you know, we do have studies showing that children who have adequate amounts of DHA actually have, you know, a better functioning brain, let's say. So they are, you know, whether you want to say they have a higher IQ, however you want to measure it, but they certainly have a better capacity to learn.
And the borderline children was where we see the best benefit. I was at a lecture recently. Someone out of Norman Salem Jr.'s laboratory was speaking on behalf of a study they did with DHA specifically, saying that the kids were right there at borderline that may need special education, that it was just, it made just enough difference to keep the kids with the rest of the class. Now, to me, as a parent as well, I mean, yeah, higher IQ, higher EQ, I mean, who's going to complain? But the idea, they calculated the savings, healthcare, the education savings of keeping those kids with the rest of the class, and you figure that out into, you know, millions and millions of people, again, enormous return on investment from something as simple as correcting the omega-3 deficiency while you're pregnant or planning on getting pregnant.
Wow, that's profound. That really is profound. I want to ask you, what do we need to know in terms of making our choices of omega-3s products? Because, like anything, there are cheap forms out there which are debatable how effective they are, and then there are forms of products or brands that actually are higher quality. So what do we need to know when we choose a product?
Well, one of the things that I ask people to try to figure out, and I try to do it myself, is I try to do as much homework as I can to find out who actually makes whatever they're marketing. So some people make probiotics, or they buy them contract manufacturing. They just put their label on there, which doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad product. But if you figure out who makes what in the dietary supplement space, and one thing about the organization I get to represent is we make fish oils. We have a state-of-the-art facility in Tromsø, Norway. So from boat to bottle, we test the product 80 times. We're in control of the entire supply custody chain. So I try to say you do some homework and then ask your healthcare professional. Ask your, you know, if you're like me, I have a very conservative MD just so that I'm not in an echo chamber. And then I have a naturopath like yourself. And my chiropractor, Dr. Estelle, so I call her my primary care physician because I'm there every couple of weeks. But I try to ask my healthcare providers, well, what brands do you know about? What are you hearing, and what do you trust? Because now we can triangulate everything. So once you get that out of the way, the litmus test of all is biting into the capsule. Because when you bite into the capsule, the best fish oils in the world do not have that rank kind of oxidized fishy taste that grandma's cod liver oil used to have. Mm-hmm. And then you can fact check that, Dr. Salmon. There's a website called IFOS, I-F-O-S, IFOSprogram.com, I-F like fish, O like Oscar, S like Sam, IFOSprogram.com, mm-hmm. which consumers can now go and look at the analytical biochemistry of the different brands that are out there. And when we allow people access to this information, this is one of the reasons why Nordic Naturals has become so respected. We pioneered third-party testing. We set the standard for the rest of the industry. And finally, when you look on the label, and we believe this is important, look on the label, we recommend that it says triglyceride form or superior triglyceride form, that simply lets you know that the fish oil is in a very similar form to what you find in eating the fresh fish. So those are things to look for in a high-quality product.
And what is your recommendation for the amount that we should be taking as adults?
Okay, if you're not going to do the test, the average American is going to score 24. This is where I get really accurate. The average American is going to score 24 on the test. You want 50 or higher, so we're about halfway there. In order to get from 24 to 50, you need about 3,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA per day. 3,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA per day. The beauty of that is you go to fastlearner.org, look up omega-3-6 balance, eat a can of salmon or sardines a couple of days a week, some fresh fish for dinner, and switch from almond butter to macadamia nut butter. Stop using grapeseed oil because it's so high in omega-6. Use a little bit of coconut and butter. And next thing you know, test your omega-3 blood levels. You may only need 1,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA if you simultaneously reduce the omega-6. So right. I sort of love the geometry of the answer, and it keeps it from being a sound bite, and that makes me very happy.
Okay, so before we come to the end of the show, let's talk about the test. The test to look at the levels of the omegas in your tissues. So the most accurate way to assess how you're doing with your omega-3 levels.
Correct. You go to the website, omega3test.com. It's the number 3, omega3test.com. And where you see offer code, when you see offer code, I want you to put in your offer code that we came up with you for you, Dr. Selman 50. Dr. Selman 50. So there'll be a place for an offer code at omega3test.com, and you just enter in that little box, DrSelman50. What will happen is the laboratory will send you a kit. Now, this is the exact same blood test that Mayo Clinic is charging $350 for. They send it to this exact laboratory.
Wow.
So your listeners will get it for $50. You clean the finger of your tip with the alcohol swab, lance the side of the finger. In fact, I think you recently took the test, didn't you?
I did, and I have to tell you that I got a 40. Not good enough, is it?
Okay, let's use this example. I met you. You are really healthy and wise. And you take care of yourself. And I'll bet you all it is going to require is just, in your case, just an additional gram of EPA and DHA, or maybe pulling back. I eat a lot of avocados, maybe eating a little bit less avocados, fewer nuts, because you're not eating junk food, knowing you.
Right, correct.
So all it would require is just two more capsules of Ultimate Omega for you to get the 50. My score is 58, and I wasn't taking fish oil. I was eating fish.
Right.
Everyone needs to test omega3test.com. You put in the offer code DrSelman50, and you can stop guessing and start testing. It's the most magnificent thing that Nordic Naturals has ever done in the correct the omega-3 deficiency universe, is to partner with Lipid Labs, and I'm glad that your audience will get to take the test for a discount.
Well, I'm thrilled, too, because I love being able to assess what's really going on inside our bodies rather than, you know, just taking things and hopefully they're going to hit the bullseye. We really need some more of these kinds of tests to give us that very specific information. So this is wonderful. So omega3.com, put in the code.
Omega3test.com.
Omega3test. Thank you.
Yeah, and you have to, it's number 3, because someone's trying to hijack the, you know how they do that on the internet?
Yeah.
You type it in, they try to hijack you. It's omega3test.com.
Okay, omega3test.com, put in the code DrSelman50, and you'll get that $350 test for only $50, which will give you the definitive answer of what's going on in your body with your critical omega-3 levels.
And I want to end it with Bernadine Healy, who was the first woman director at the NIH and first woman president and CEO of the Red Cross. She died in 2009, I believe, or 10. Bernadine Healy, H-E-A-L-Y. In U.S. News and World Report, she said, before long, your omega number could be the new cholesterol, the number that you want to brag about. We thought the vitamin D testing revealed a lot. Nationwide omega-3 testing is revealing unbelievable deficiency that we can correct. And that's positive.
Right. Well, this is so exciting, Stuart. You have wonderful information, wonderful research. You're such a font of knowledge. And I so appreciate you sharing all of your wisdom with us today on the show. It's been really wonderful.
It was my great pleasure, and please consider having me back, Doctor.
Absolutely. We will do that.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stuart. And to all of you listening, thank you. I'm sure this has been an enlightening show for you, as well as all these shows are that we get to share together every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So until next time, remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.